Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I don't believe this.
What?
Well, look what she's using to clean that window.
Windex.
Ain't that what they're supposed to use?
Well, yeah, if you want a clean window.
Ah, look at him, huh? He's got that other stuff nice and streaky.
Oh, come on. Windex even cleans what the other stuff leaves behind.
So?
So,
a bird could get hurt flying into a window like that?
The difference is clear. For a streak-free shine every time, Windex is best on glass.
What's this?
New Mountain Berries.
Product of Ngozi Enterprises via the Beverly Nation. You are listening to Righteous Consciousness, and I am your host, Darlene Lawrence. This is the 532nd episode of the Beverly Nation. Dear Father, thank you for this opportunity to share what has been placed on my heart. I pray that we receive awareness and understanding, and that we go on to do your work as we rebuild a people and ultimately a nation. In the name of your precious son, Jesus, amen. Good evening, everyone. Tonight, my heart is heavy laden. It is heavier than even when I began to bring this series to you 2 weeks ago. Tonight, we will be talking about the title of tonight's discussion is Police Are to Protect and Serve. Is there another agenda? And tonight is part two. And as I see it, this may expand a little bit more because as I have been doing my research, I've come across so many different areas where the police are not protecting and serving. Not the common good of man, not in its efforts to promote peace and harmony in the land. But what I have seen has hurt me in so many ways, and not just myself, so many people. So I know, once again, that this question that I asked, it raises eyebrows across the country because of the hell that we see breaking out in our streets. We see people taken to the streets protesting, peaceful protests. But then there is so much frustration that some of the protests have gone awry, far, far to the left or to the right, whatever side, but not where it should be. Not in a way, in a manner to promote harmony, to promote justice, to promote standing up for the common good of man. Not in that way. As we talked last week, and as I just said, we see these demonstrations all over. To kind of review some of the information that I put out there last week, we live in a society with approximately 1,800 police departments coast to coast in these United States. There is approximately, if not more, 500,000 sworn-in police officials. And when we look at what's going on, when we see what's happening, now, don't get me wrong, every police officer is not a bad police officer. We talked about that last week. But there's just too many situations, too many cases that we're seeing where the police are taking these other avenues of protecting and serving. And they're not protecting us, and they're not serving us in those particular venues. They're not serving us. They're harming us. You have to wonder, what the heck is their agenda? Is their agenda to put us into a position like we're seeing right now that's going on in Baltimore? Is their position to get us to an uprising to the point where we end up making them use their excessive force? Because the stuff that's going on there, many feel justified, but then again, is it real justification? Because after all, we got to live. Life has to go on. And we have to find so much of a better way to do this. Now, I have to say, after, and I'm going to talk about this topic, but I want to just say a little bit about this, because what we're doing is setting ourselves up with the violent protests. We're setting ourselves up for the police to come in and do any and everything. So when I look at the militarization of the police department, they're ready to go. They're just waiting for us to give them something to push the button. And we don't even have to give them much to push that button. No, we don't. We don't have to give them much to push the button at all. Because they're already ready. First of all, you know, we got to talk about a couple things here. But first I want to say this. We are broadcasting out of Roseland, Pennsylvania. I do want you to not just sit back and listen to this information. I know everybody got something they need to say about this. So do not hesitate to dial in the number 347-202-0392 and join in this conversation, because we got to keep beating this drum. We can't stop. We got to do something. We got to keep on doing what we're doing. Because when we talk about the details of this latest event, somebody has to understand. Somebody has to say, wow, we need to stop fighting each other and unite together. That is what we need to do. So again, we are broadcasting out of Roseland, Pennsylvania. The number to call in is 347-202-0392. Now, as we're going on talking about what is happening in this society, we say Black Lives Matter, and yes, they do, every life matter. But I'm going to have to tell you, in my research, and I try to make it a point for people to understand that my show is not just about one race. Now, don't get me wrong. You've heard me say it before, and I ain't got no problem with continually saying it. I'd be a fool if I didn't care about my own people. Definitely care about all people, because we all need each other if we're living and doing the right things. I was doing a little bit of research. One of the things that I saw was a clip with a young lady and her son traveling in Texas. And the police stopped them. The police stopped them because they said that she was speeding. She was driving over the speed limit. Her son, who was a minor, and the child looked like he may have been teens, maybe 15, 16. But he was a minor, and he was in her custody, driving with her. She was the one that committed the crime, if such be a crime, by going over the speed limit. They ordered her son out of the car. Now, I have to tell you, this wasn't a black family. This was a Caucasian family. So what I want everybody right here to listen to and zero in, Black lives matter. All lives matter. But it is a mindset of these police officers that we have to be so very careful. They are so on the edge, and they are so full of whatever doggone, whatever they popped up with, that they think that many of them think that they are above the law. Now, as I'm describing to you this situation where this woman, a white woman, and her son was stopped, and they were told, get out of the car. And the woman said, what law did we break? And they continued to harass her and wanting to interrogate her son. And she, being a woman that had some understanding of the law, said, no, you can't interrogate my son. My son is a minor, number one. Number two, I'm right here. He's done nothing wrong. If I broke the law, tell me what law I broke and deal with me. And they continued to harass her. And she was streaming this the whole time and even told them that she was streaming this whole incident. She asked them, what law? You tell me, recite to me what law I broke. And they continued to tell her, we don't have to tell you that. And she was smart to tell her son, don't answer anything. Answer nothing, was her words exactly. They kept wanting her to get in the car while they keep her son for what they thought was reasonable suspicion. Reasonable suspicion of what? You see, this is where they're going a little bit cocky and crazy, is this terminology that they're using is reasonable suspicion. The same words that they use with Michael Brown, the same words that they use with every one of the victims that have been murdered at the hands of the police. And this last victim that has drawn national attention, Freddie Gray. Reasonable suspicion, once again, landed this man. My heart goes out because that man died a painful death. He died painful death. I mean, every death is every death that has been committed has been wrong. But this man died a torturous death. Again, I like to say we are broadcasting out of Roslyn, Pennsylvania. The number to dial in is 347-202-0392. Had to collect myself for a second because, you know, when I think about the torture, I mean, I've watched video after video, have read report after report, have done so much research. My heart just goes out to this young man's family of what he had and what he endured the hands of those police officers. I don't even want to call them officers. Those thugs. Those thugs. So for some of you that don't know what happened, there was a on-foot pursuit, as they would like to tell it. They would like to make society think that this man was some type of a crazed criminal, serial killer, going to do some form of unjust to society. It was said that he had a switchblade, and they chased him through a housing project for this so-called switchblade. Now, I'm going to tell you something. First of all, after seeing the death of Trayvon Martin, Eric Garner, oh God, Oscar Grant, Michael Brown, and I'm not trying to leave anyone else out, but all that we have seen in the recent years and the not-so-recent years. When the police is pursuing you, any black man doesn't know if that's his end, does not know if his number is up, because it seems like it finds itself some kind of way to end up being the end, the total end of that person. And then that person is disparaged and looked at like a common criminal. When the criminals, yes, I said it, criminals, that conduct these so-called reasonable suspicion stops, they are the criminals. They are the criminals. I'm kind of jumping around a little bit off my transcript, but I just got to hit back at an article that I read the other day. Michael Brown's family is filing a civil suit against Ferguson Police Department. And Michael Brown's family is asking for $75,000. I'm not trying to be critical, but the way that man was gunned down in the street like a piece of nothing, it is certainly more than $75,000 that they should be asking for the death of their son. Once again, this is a topic that is just so passionate, that I feel so passionate about, because when we see how life don't matter, and there is no dollar limit, none whatsoever, that can ever amount to a life, none whatsoever. Life is precious. We've done a bad job as a race in terms of caring enough for each other. Black lives have to matter to ourselves instead of getting hoodwinked into the street game and end up shooting up, killing each other. Because if we don't care for each other, why do we think people that don't look like us, that have said through the history, through our history and through time, that they don't even want to be around us, why in the world do you think they should care if we don't care? When are we going to stop the senselessness? I want to get back on track with this story about this young man that the police apprehended in a very brutal manner. You know, when I saw the clips of them, when they apprehended him, had him down on the ground, and the people that were watching, the spectators that were looking on, and they just wasn't sitting back, maybe some of them were, but they were yelling out to the police. And these police are so cocky. They are so enthralled in their thinking that they think that they're justified. They think that they are doing what they are supposed to do. And what they're supposed to do is protect and serve. Well, this high on-foot pursuit of a so-called switchblade ended up to be a pocket knife of legal size. This man had no such weapon on his person that would have even caused a pursuit. Probably one of those little Boy Scout Swiss Army knife, whatever it was, but it was of legal size. It was not something that was illegal to carry. But they treated him and hunted him down like a dog. And what they did to that man, what they did to him, people that was observing and yelling at the police that was dragging him after they had him handcuffed and dragged him and threw him into the back of the wagon. And the people could see that His leg looked broke. And they're telling the police, why are you dragging him like that? His leg is broke. Police didn't care. They kept right on doing what they were doing. They continued to do what they were doing. And I'm going to tell you just how egregious this thing was. They threw him in the back of that wagon, handcuffed, did not secure him. They did not strap him down. They did not seat buckle him on because it's a little ride of death that the Baltimore Police Department had been doing. Throwing people in the back of a wagon and taking them on a hell ride where they get all banged up and hurt up and everything inside the wagon. They knew that Mr. Gray's body was already injured. He posed no threat whatsoever to them. They all have semi-automatic weapons. He had a legal-sized pocket knife. They apprehended him and threw him in the back of that wagon and took him on that hell ride, and not that they took him straight to the hospital. And this is the part that breaks my heart. They took him on three other stops to pick up some more people. They detained, taking this man to seek medical attention. This is one of the worst of all. Now, just with that little bit that we're talking about, can somebody please tell me why these officers are on administrative leave with pay? I deal with people that may have gotten terminated or suspended pending an investigation because maybe they falsified their time or maybe some other situation could have occurred. But the thing about it, they don't get one plug nickel. Why are these police officers getting paid while they are out on this administrative leave, so-called investigation? Now, anybody that know me, and it's no secret, I'm pro-union all the way. But I cannot condone anybody to do that type of inhumane behavior. And their police attorneys, their union attorneys, that's their job. They have a fiduciary responsibility to represent their client. It comes down to a social issue. It comes down to a human issue. It comes down to just knowing right from wrong. That's what it comes down to. I guess me, if I had to do that, in that respect, and knowing something like that, I would have to say, can't do it. You got to get somebody else on this one. Can't do it. Because I could not, knowing that what they did was wrong. There's no reason why in the world. You see, you got to get the picture. They're in this wagon. They're not strapped in. They're taking them on a high-speed ride. The wagon is jaking. They slamming on the brakes. Your hands, your handcuffed. You have no way of bracing yourself. So you're thrown all over the place. This man was already injured, and he suffered injuries. My God. My God. Again, we are discussing the police are to protect and serve. Is there another agenda? Now, if anybody know what that agenda is, please feel free to call in tonight at 347-202-0392. We are broadcasting out of Roseland, Pennsylvania. As we are discussing this whole situation, what is going on, You know, I've seen more regard for the dogs that Michael Vick was imprisoned for. I've seen more regard for those animals than for the human lives that have been snuffed out. And if we look at the amount of time, and truthfully, let's be for real here. Let's really be for real. The Michael Browns, the Trayvon Martins, the Eric Garners, LaBelle Hall, and not to leave anybody out, of course, Freddie Gray and all of the others that have died in this manner. The only reason why it has become nationwide is because of the use of smartphones. People either recording the conversations, people recording the incident. And let me not forget Walter Scott. Okay, let's not forget that man as well. And I said not to forget the others, but I have to call his name because it was just before Mr. Gray. Here we go again. Here we go again. The police, and I sometimes I got to bite my tongue because I know that there are some decent officers. We had the opportunity and privilege to speak to one when we were on the show, on the air last time. But it hurts me to have to say it, because I'm looking at just about all of them suspect. They have another agenda, and it is certainly not to see you make it to your next birthday, if they can get away with it. And from the YouTube clip I was speaking on, the other, you know, about the white mother with her minor son, it's definitely more blacks that are being murdered at the hands of the police. But it is definitely a lot, you know, it is definitely other nationalities. And if we're looking at it as a racism thing, and I even thought, because who was to say, I don't, you know, a lot of the KKK, you out there listening, you don't like Jews either. So who is to say if this woman was not of Jewish descent while you were giving her that trouble or not? I don't know that or not. I'm just speculating at this point. But I have to say, we don't know. But one thing I do know, the police are out of control. They think that they can do things to people and get away with it because they have. When we look at Darren Wilson, a man that is tall in stature, just as tall as Michael Brown, and he's going to have the audacity to sit there and say that he felt like a five-year-old in front of Hulk Hogan. He had no threat. Michael Brown had no enemy. No weapon. He had no weapon. If anything, Michael Brown should have felt like the five-year-old in front of Hulk Hogan. But you see how they flipped it? And he goes off and he gets $1 million from the police fund or wherever the heck he gets the money from. And he goes off into the sunset and he lives a happy life and the man is dead. And no telling me they not high five and say, hey, woo, yeah, you did that one good. It is a good old boys club gang. That's what it is. But we got to deal with it in a smart sense, because tearing up our communities and our neighborhoods, that's not the way to do it. Freddie Gray's mother pleaded that the community did not do anything detrimental. She even said that her son would not have wanted that. Now, we know that things have gotten real crazy out of hand. Part of it is to give you a reason so they can do something. The other part is so that the world can just say, look at them. All should be eliminated. Is that going to help us for real? What should help us? And we've talked about this in the past. When we look back and we've seen what happened with the Montgomery boycott, economic power. Okay, economic power is what we possess that could hit them in the gut. But you know what? We done become enslaved to all the materialism that this country offers. We done become enslaved to the $400 hair, the $500 red sole shoes, cars that we can't really afford, but it looks good driving around in them. And you know, one of the biggest things that get me, especially with our young people, and I love y'all, but I got to say it, y'all hook up those old cars. The darn wheels are more value than the whole car. You value the wrong things. You don't value education. You don't value looking for a better way to make a better life for yourself. Instead, you play right into that game. And you don't think that education is the key. No, you don't think education is the key because you're too busy trying to live a life that you've seen on television that you think you should live. Subliminal suggestioning. That's what you're doing. You're taking what you think should be and letting it take you somewhere. But it ain't the road you think that you're really going to go on. Okay? It's a distraction. Now, I see that I have my sister and my sister are chatting on the air. My sister, we need you tonight.
My heart is heavy and is really breaking behind what is going on, and not just in Baltimore, but around the world.
Yes.
But for it to be going on in Baltimore right now, it just breaks my heart to see that much rage and anger and hatred that has been built up due to years and years of injustices. And, you know, my heart is breaking because I'm with protesting. I'm with peaceful marches. I'm with sit-ins. I'm with people who, like a young man, I forget the man's name, it was on social media the other day, the college student who laid sprawled out on the ground for an hour as a form of protest for what happened to Mike Brown. I'm for protest, but my heart is breaking because we are playing right into the hands of the powers to be.
Yeah.
We are reacting out of anger instead of out of consciousness.
Yeah.
And because of that, we're killing ourselves. You know, the store that they set on fire for that neighborhood, that was the only major store in that neighborhood, in the entire neighborhood. That CVS was the only, I mean, there were little mom and pop stores all around or in different locations, but that was the only store in that neighborhood. And it was set on fire. And this is how you know there is an alternate agenda. If you watched the videos and things as it was playing out on the news and you timed from the time that the smoke started, all of those cops were standing down there.
Yes.
And it took that long for the fire department to get there? It's no way you can tell me there's not some other type of agenda. The problem is the reactions we're showing, it breaks my heart and puts it in fear for the people of Baltimore, especially the young blacks of Baltimore. And I hate to make it seem like it's a black and white thing, because some media sources are doing that right now. They're saying that the blacks are doing this to the whites, and that's not what it's about. But because of the ignorance and the violence that's being shown to the world from the anger of young people and some older people who are manipulating the young people to bring this about, what's going to happen when the news cameras go away? These same police officers, and I'm the ones who did what they did, need to face justice. No, they should not be on paid administrative leave. No, they should not be able to walk around free and dandy. However, on the same token, like, they were throwing rocks and bottles and things like that at the police. So now, whereas you were saying once they were agitating us, now we've taken it to the point of agitating back. The problem is we don't have the protective gear that they have.
Absolutely.
And no matter how much weapons you may think you have, you will never be able to mask the weaponry of a state, let alone the nation. We're going about it the wrong way. And in the long run, if we don't stop and take this anger and organize it constructively and show our young people how to constructively protest, we are going to have more situations like what the Gray family is going through right now.
Yeah.
It comes down to, when do we stop? Where are our leaders at? Where are our community leaders at? Baltimore,
yes.
if y'all can't get yourselves organized, I'm willing to come to Baltimore and meet with any ministers that's willing to put a stop to this, that's willing to stand up and say, you know what, God forbid we lost the one we lost, but we refuse to let our anger cause us to have to bury another child,
another father,
another brother, another friend. And for the cops, I understand that blue bond. I understand it. But the blue bond is supposed to be for those who took an oath to protect and serve, not to search and harm. So you need to cut those evil cops that are making you look, all of you look evil. Y'all need to cut them from your little blue bond. Stop hovering around to protect them when they're doing dirt, because they're putting your lives in more danger.
Absolutely.
Because now,
absolutely,
how do we teach our children to trust a uniform when it's the uniform that does them the most harm?
Absolutely. Well, my sister, I want you to stay right there. Stay with us. But I want to bring on our illustrious producer, my brother, my brother.
Well, first of all, I want to say this. Chaplain, wonderful to hear from you tonight. And I know we're going to lead us out in the word of prayer at the end, right before Ngozi time. In 1968, February the 27th, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. wanted to go to Memphis to help sanitation workers. And he vowed that he would make sure that they would get a living wage. He said, how can we live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages? So he went there in March 27th, 1968. This was the first time, Chaplain and Darlene, our host, that he led a march that ended violently. We all know that it was said, and we don't, this is all said, so I'm not saying anything wrong on the air. The FBI was involved in this with the Marauders, a gang that was in Memphis, and they were Wahoo Boys, and they were the ones that broke the windows and caused the ruckus on Beale Street that morning. And before Dr. King died, they talked at the Lorraine, and they said, well, what happened? Well, who sent you? Well, who did this? And the young man said, the FBI. I'm wondering, not trying to put out the Federal Bureau of Investigation, because I think they're doing a great job trying to investigate what's going on down there in Baltimore at this time, different times in 68 than this in 2015, okay? So we're moving back, at least not moving. Here's the situation right now. In Baltimore, Maryland right now, we got kids who are just messing with innocent people, the innocent Caucasian people that came out of the Cannon Yard ballpark last night. They were thrown, and Darlene, listen to me, Darlene and Chaplain. They were thrown, trash was thrown upon them and their children. Why? Why? I understand that you're upset. I understand that the way the man died was horrible in itself and in all things. But I call on the city of Baltimore and all the punks that's out there that's doing the wrong thing. You know who you are. You're a bunch of punks. You're savages. Just like the man says you are. All you out there doing the dirt, burning down your own supermarket. You're hardly getting anything eaten now with your welfare checks and all that. And your food stamps. Those who, you know, people who do work every day pay for your salary to get those things, right? So now where are you going to eat? Huh? You break into the Foot Lockers and all that, and you ride everything. Now where are you going to shop? Let me explain something to you, okay? Let me explain something to you loud and clear. And this is my editorial. My thoughts tonight are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio, LTD, and its subsidiaries, as well as my company, Beverly Nation Incorporated, as well as Oladeli and Yosi Enterprise. I'm going to go old school Lonnie Beverly on you tonight, and that's why I'm glad it says PG-13. You're a bunch of assholes, point blank. If you got kids out there doing your dirt and you're setting kids up to go to jail and you say that black lives matter, okay, I challenge all you savages out there who are doing the dirt in Baltimore City tonight. You savages, not black people, not great black people, not strong black people, not stand up for the race, not because, you know, you're letting down Martin and Malcolm because they died, and that old race, like my father and my mother, that race, Chaplin, that race, Darlene, they're dying off in a slow breeze, okay? Mm-hmm. They were the great race, okay? Now, Darlene said something tonight that was deep. Darlene said that you have to care about who you are. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, during that time of the civil rights movement, white folk, yeah, I'm going to say old, good old-fashioned white folk, say, my God, the niggers, remember when I said the views that I'm saying tonight, I'm an editor, I own this shit, so calm down, and I'm going to say what I want to say tonight. I own this network. Now, let's go back. And am I going old school, Darlene? Because they don't know the old Lonnie Beverly in me. I try to be older Beverly and Goldie, but I'm going Lonnie tonight. Let me explain something to you. The white folks gave us civil rights. Because we stood up for ourselves. We were willing to lay down our lives peacefully in those shutters down there in Greensboro, North Carolina, where we did our thing with Woolworth. And in the times we rode those, thank God for people like John Lewis, who rode those Greyhounds, can I get an amen, who rode those trail raids in the threat of death and did not fight back. What they fought back was their moral courage. And white folk came along. They said, oh, my God, all for white Jews, Gentiles, like Dr. King said, Protestants and Catholics came along with us and said, you know what? The black man's cause should be our cause, too. The black man's cause should be our cause, too. How do you think we were respected in television and Broadway and all those entertainments? Being able to be accepted athletically, being able to be accepted scientifically. Doctors like Ben Carson and all those great people coming up upon America, making a change. Why? Just like Malcolm X said, you have to do for self before you let anybody else do for you. Baltimore City savages. Let me explain something to you. I don't really don't care about the market share. I never care. I'm all that and then some. I don't need your market share to survive. I'm a Republican, remember? So listen to this young black Republican tonight talk to you, okay? They're setting up places for you to go. And let me tell you something. Keep doing what you're doing, and you're going to find yourself in those places where your mama and daddy can't find you, where your whole Social Security record will be wiped away. I don't need to go home because that's where you're setting yourself up to do. Baltimore City savages, you're savages. The ones who stand up, and I understand the frustration like Darlene said tonight. I understand that. Yes, you're tired. Yes, you're frustrated. But let me say something. I said to a friend of mine today, this afternoon, we talked about Detroit City. Do anybody remember 1967? Does anybody, Chaplin, Darlene,
Yeah.
Darlene Chaplin. Mm-hmm. 1967 changed the way Detroit City is today. Bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
They put something down on y'all, man, a 40-year plan to destroy the greatest cultivation of African-American home ownership in the whole entire world. Why? Because Dodge Maine was there. GM Maine was there, and also Ford Maine was there. I said Maine. The main campuses of the great Motown juggernaut that is the automotive industry. People came up from the South and began to get jobs. They were happy. Somebody said, wait a minute, this is a strong black base. No, all people want to do is just be able to live and have money. We're not here to take over America. No one's here to blow up the post office. Calm down, white supremacy. Y'all stupid. No one's trying to take on what you got because it's impossible. There's only 21 million black Americans in America. 21 million so-called Negroes cannot destroy white supremacy. Why don't you calm down and let everybody eat? Huh? Why don't you calm down and let everybody eat? You've been doing this ever since 1865 when they freed the slaves, and then you knocked up saying about talking about, hey, for the acres of mule, we got the disenfranchised on Negroes. We can't have the Negroes to calm down. All we want is a fair shake in life. You white supremacist cops, you black supremacist cops that go with the white supremacy because sometimes you're too black, for the brother and too blue for the bad. There's some good cops out there that don't do those things. You know, I know one. Miss May, you know who I'm talking to. But listen to what I'm saying. There's a lot of people out there that need the strength of their police force. And there's some good cops out there. I'm talking about the Gestapo out there. You know who you are. You've been doing it ever since the Klan back in the 1920s, way back in Huntsville, Alabama. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to bring this stuff back up again. I'll be damned. Listen, the Beverly Nation has always been about change. Sometimes, you know, we get beside ourselves, host. Oh, I'm not going there, darling. I'm going to go there. We get beside ourselves, host. We started this network to confront folk. Do you remember that? I think only one person, not cutting you off, Chaplin, but you came in at 14, okay? So I'm going to let you hear what I'm saying. Darlene Lawrence, I'm talking to you. And Leah Love is on the program as well. She remembers. When we first started this network, Darlene, did we care about opinions of those? I don't remember we did. And so we built this network on that. And we all know Chaplin don't bite her tongue. And she wields a strong sword. Okay? So Chaplin, I'm not talking about you. But see, Chaplin wasn't here. Chaplin came along in March of 14th. I'm talking about how we started this network. I be damned if I allow something to go on in Baltimore City as it's going on. You rotten police officers that did get to that brother, I hope God deals with you in the afterlife, and I hope the law deals with you in your present life. Now, you Baltimore City savages, go home, okay? Go home, read a book, read, I wish this was reading an article. I'll tell you what to do. But let me tell you something. Read a book, read an MF book. Okay, go home and wipe away the residue and the gunpowder out of your air, and just go home and just look. Take care of your children. You know, can you do that? Can you do that?
Right.
Can you do that? Take care of your damn children. Do you know where your kids are right now? Or they are there right now at the GameStop that was broken up down on North Avenue for not got their little new YK215 $50,000. You're a disgrace. You are a disgrace to a grand people who fought and died for so-called freedom. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Ain't no such thing as freedom. If you think you free, you know, that's what I'm saying. Freedom. You dumb because you think you free. The only way you can be free is in your mind. People are not going to give you freedom, stupid. You got to fight for that. Oh, I want my freedom. I want my freedom, boss, man. Could you give up with freedom? Shut up. You, him, that Uncle Tom nigger. I'm looking for black people tonight, not niggers. And once again, this is not the epitome or the product of LawTalkRadio.com LTD or its subsidiary. And this is not also the opinion of Beverly Nation and its host. It's the opinion of its one and only producer, your mother, your grandma, the one that's buried way back in 1899, her ass is right there in the dirt. I'm her favorite producer, too. Dr. Darlene. And guess what? I really don't care about your hate mail. I built this network on hate. Do you remember?
My brother, hey, Darlene,
you got Antonia back? That's somebody who remembers. What we stand for. Hey, wait a minute. I got to say this before I get off. Hey, Tony. You know
yes,
who stands
how
for
are you tonight?
Tony.
Hey, Darlene. And hey, Tony.
Hey, Tony. How you doing, my
hey,
sister?
Hey, Tony,
my
you know
sister.
We stand for the truth.
All right,
we just stand for the truth ever since we were back in Houston days. Come on now, Antonio. You know what we do. If it ain't about truth, you ain't about it, huh?
You know, it's so sad. I'm going to tell you, I used to be taught by the best as a little kid, as some people may have, that if nothing else, if you have any problems, go to the police first. But, you know, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to be afraid to send their little children to the arms of the police when they ever feel as though they're threatened after seeing all what's been going on lately. And that's bad because, you know, you heard that song, One Bad Apple Can Spoil a Whole Bunch. Well, all it took is a handful of police officers across the nation to turn around and ruin a good thing that was set up by the nation just to protect us, as Darlene had mentioned. And I admire Toy for wanting to go into Baltimore to participate in peaceful demonstration against the police officers that committed the hate crime, it seems like, and to torture a human being. I know we have some aggravating people out there in the public who the police have to halfway deal with, but do they ever consider the fellow officers who do not participate in all this craziness and put them at jeopardy and have them resented because of their stupidity? But, you know, it's not over till it's over, and everything you said was a mouthful, so take what the producer had said and keep in mind that he's telling you what people have heard for years. And I tell you, as for the officers, they need to screen these officers a lot better than what they do before they hire them. Either
yes.
that or do what they're supposed to do, treat them accordingly, because they wouldn't want something like that to happen to their children. Thank you very much for the time. And, Darlene, God bless you. You're a good person for bringing on the subject as you see it. And good and much love and luck. And God bless you, Toy, for wanting to follow through. And thank you, producer, for expressing your opinion, which is not the opinion of Blog Talk Radio, like you said. But you obviously felt very moved by the whole thing, just like a lot of us had. Because I wouldn't do to their children what they've done to somebody else's. Thank you, and you all have a good night.
Thank you so much, my sister. Thank you. That is our sister, Antonia Betts, and we'll definitely be hearing from her real soon for a peripheral vision. But one thing I want to comment on what our brother, our producer, said about freeing your mind. Old
right.
song. Does everybody know that I'm old school? Parliament Funkadelic. Free your mind and your ass will follow, okay?
Go ahead, girl.
And that's what these folks need to do, okay? You know, just stop all of this crazy stuff. That the freedom is not running out here buying all these old crazy things that you know you can't afford or just fad stuff. The freedom is investing into your future and making it one for yourself, because this society wants you to think you have no future. Now, I know that my brother, my producer, would like to come on now for an Ngozi time.
Hi, folks. I'm your favorite black Republican, Oladele Malaise English. Now, the views of Lonnie Beverly, the old school Lonnie Beverly, he meant exactly what he said. And I am still your mother and father's favorite producer. I want to thank I want to thank Darlene Lawrence. I want to thank our chap, the one and only Reverend Toy Daly, coming on the show tonight. And like I said, you know, I think that, you know, I've said enough. I don't need to say anymore. No more. You got some good cops out there doing their job. Please let them do their job. Please don't throw, you know, bricks and bottles and Pepsi all over them so they don't have to shoot you. Did I say that? I'm sorry. Did I just say that? So they don't have to shoot you. Because they're going to shoot you dead in the street. And you know what? Since that's your business, let me tell you mine. Ola Deli and Gozi Enterprises as advertising. You can reach us right there at thebevnet.bbweb.com. Also, we're thebevnet on Twitter. We are bev_net on Instagram, and we are simply bevnet on the greatest social media arm in the whole entire universe. And that is Facebook. Any comments or suggestions to this young black Republican that don't give a damn how you feel? Oladeli.ngozi, both my and gmail.com. Darlene Lawrence, once again,
yes, sir.
What more can I say to you? You know, I feel, you know, hey, Chaplin, you still there? I love, you know, some white people graduating, you know, March of 14th. We're talking to a sister that's been here since September of 13th. We just talked to a young sister by the name of Antonia Bass that's been here since February of 13th. How about that? You know, we have...
Listen, guys, you know, it's funny to hear myself back in the day, but we were, you know, strong in our convictions, strong in life. And what happened to that network? A lot of times we've been spoiled of all the accolades and all the growth of network and, you know, numbers and what have you. But back in those days, man, all we had was each other. Remember that? Whole family? It wasn't about nothing, man. We tried to grow something that was going to be great. The life of Darlene Lawrence. Every night we come on and say, and every championship is honored to the late, great Darlene Lawrence, our first ever Hall of Famer here at this network. Oh, Miss Darlene. She had conviction, motivation, and stimulation to move people, to entice them to do better. I'm going to bring on a person that understands that and understands what it means to celebrate and support. The 2020 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame, Broadcasting and Enshrining, the 2022 International Hall of Fame Lifetime Achiever Elect, Mr. Hunivaka. I know you have to be, you know, elevated and energized and electrified for righteous consciousness. You know, 2015, the late, great Darlene Lawrence. Your thoughts. I'm gonna fall back.
Hey, first of all, that's the way you do a show. Shout out to the latest great ancestor. I'm telling you. I mean, the things in which he was bringing, I'm doing my best to aspire to do with our great network. And shout out to Mr. Alani Beverly. I didn't get a chance to meet him back in the day, but he, you know, I felt his presence. I still feel his presence today. You know, hey, let me
say something. You start next. Don't start no mess here. Don't start no mess in my courthouse.
Let me say something next. I'm trying to help. Look, all the real, please give me just a couple of minutes. I want to get this out right quick.
Go ahead, man.
Look, I'm tired of that old worn-out excuse about all cops ain't bad. I want anyone to hear me clearly. With that type of rhetoric, do you know how long we've been fighting that and saying that when it comes to ours? Don't tell me all lives matter. When Dr. Martin Luther King, you had Malcolm X, a lot of the freedom fighters, civil rights, people of every color have fought against the injustice and this police brutality. They've been gone 45, 50 years, some hundreds of years, and we're still dealing with this here. We're still going to deal with this here. We're still going to set that old man out of you. Well, you know what? Magic Man got a question to ask you. Tell me, and I want someone, her or whoever, explain to me, why is it every time one of these incidents happen, the bad cops show up before the good cop? And then when the good cops get there, how come they don't arrest the bad cop for the damage that they done did? It's an excuse. And you know who keeps accepting that old weird, worn out excuse? Our people. Our people, especially you religious people out there. This one here is for you. I don't give a damn if y'all like me or not. Y'all got more respect. Y'all got more faith than logic. Y'all got more respect. Y'all got more faith than logic. Show me. Show me any time. Like I say, hate me. Show me any time that who you prayed to, who you called on, stop one of those devils from taking one of our innocent people's lives. Show me. When they took those, what was it, seven people in that church in South Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Hate me.
At the mother church, man, down there in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Charleston, South Carolina. Keep it real now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Emmanuel and listen, wait, I got one. We go the mother Emmanuel. I'm asking a Methodist Episcopal Church. It's Charleston, South Carolina. Great talk.
And I'm gonna tell you how you know, like I said, more faith than logic. Our people got more faith and self forgiving because that's what they've been trained to do, right? Before this demon, that's exactly what the hell he was, looking like the son of Jesus, son of Charles Manson. Right? And you see why? You see why that our people won't fight against and protect their own lives? It's because they believe, and this is twofold I'm about to say here. For those of you who still hang that Charles Manson-looking freak up in your church, and you're a black church, and this is what you teach in your congregation to worship, that's white power that has infiltrated you. For all of you who remove those images, they say color don't matter, right? Now, you don't remove the image, but it's still stuck in your mind. It's still stuck in your heart. And you wonder why you won't raise up. I tell you what, though. I want you to hear me clearly. You try that with one of mine, I'm going to whip your ass from this world into the next. And I guarantee you, the Heavenly Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, won't stop me from whipping your ass for the rest of eternity.
Well, first of all, we know that Magic Man Haru has the spirit of Darlene Lawrence in him tonight, huh? Must be a Libra thing. God rest the dead and God bless the dead, the great Darlene Lawrence. And, of course, you know, Magic Man, you know, lifetime achiever for the International Radio Hall of Fame, already enshrined. You know, what do you have for us next week on your show, We Will Wear You?
My message of motivation. And first of all, my motivation comes from the inside of me. I give thankful to my personal book of life that was opened in 1991. I know a lot of people hear me speak about June 13, 1985, but it was in 1991 when my personal book was opened, my own book. And I read this book nine times more than any other scripture that I studied, from the Suhuf and throughout El Quran. And you wonder why I know me so well and why. Not only that, I took time to get my documentation, and a lot of my motivation comes from my strong support team. We got to get back to that, y'all. Anyone who's listening to this, we at WBNN have to get back to that. We're doing well, but we can do so much better. I felt the love. I felt how family supported each other, and it's no excuse. We got to cut the excuses out. And that'll be June 30th, next Thursday at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. Thank you.
All right, man. We thank you. You know, Brother Hooney brought up a good point. Articulation is wonderful. Sounding great is wonderful. You know, having great shows and being historic is wonderful. But where are we today? We had a State of the Union of WBNN. We're nothing like we used to be. Our hosts don't even recruit people in their own families and their friends to even call in like we used to do. Pass the peas, y'all, like we used to do. If Darlene was alive, she would tell us it's all in together. We talked about Baltimore and Freddie Gray and the atrocities of not only the police department, but also the atrocities of the people that want to burn down their own pharmacies so grandmama can get their medicine. Burn down their own supermarket so grandmama can get her apples. I still call you savages to this day, and I'm greater than I was in 2015. I'm a monster. I'm the greatest producer that ever lived. and I still call you savages. For all the folks out there that understand that parenting is very important, and I talked to a brother I didn't even know today, and, you know, I know him now. His name is Raymond, and I said, Raymond, you know, what's going on? He said, man, if we get the chance to be able to parent our kids again, there has been generations that slipped. We got caught up in, you know, materialistic grandeur. Oh, I got a Benz, man. Oh, you know, I bought my kid the new PlayStation. Oh, man, he cool, man. He got the new Air Force One. They crispy. You didn't parent. I challenge anyone to parent their child, to do a better job. You know, I'm not going to toot my horn. You don't know my history. You know what my son is doing. It's not about me. I mean, I just produce shows. But you guys out there listening, over, you know, tens of millions are listening to my voice tonight. Do you know where your kids are right now? Are you helping them, you know, with scholastic prowess in the summer? Just because your kid is out of school don't mean that they should not be studying, being better. That's why other cultures are better than some cultures, because you don't understand that we have to be in this together. Your child is your child, man. Your house is your world. When you close that door at night, and I know my commissioner got my back in this one, when you close your door at night, your planet is the family within. Your planet is making sure people are fed, making sure they're cultured and safe. Culture is education. Some communities have forgot that. Some communities think that music and videos and TikTok and reels are culture. We have more black women out there shaking their bodies, twerking, than teaching. You have white women out there more twerking than teaching. But a lot of other people that you call, you so-called, because a lot of times you don't call black people Americans, but so-called people that, you know, are not white or black, whatever, are teaching and not twerking. And when you go to the hospital or go to your clinic, that person is actually giving you a diagnosis. Miss Johnson, Mr. Taylor, Miss Swinson, this is your diagnosis. There was a time when we had pride in education because we knew how hard it was to attain it. And there goes the pride. And those people did wondrous things. Why are we not teaching our kids these wondrous things? How dare you do that to your child? You're rotten to the core. For you not to be able to teach your child to be better than you, you're a disgrace. You are a disgrace. You have people that didn't have children who are better parents than you birthed. Let's get back on business. And again, since 2013, I said, do you know where your children are right now? WBNN and Beverly Nation, even our Damon Network, all of us coming together to be where we are today, our call-ins and what have you. We are here to change the attitude and the opinion of internet radio. We are here to touch people and change people. In 2013, we pledged to save lives. We pledged to save lives. Every show, no matter what you heard, how many fights you heard on this network, we come together. That's one. Before I go into a ghostly time, I'm going to bring on my most tenured host. And I know she has a lot to say tonight. She was on that show tonight with Darlene Lawrence, and she's here live and direct. The 2020 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting nominee. Before you say that, Miss, I got to also say, you know, I want to thank you for what you've done for us on a constant basis, almost 10 years. Let's answer your best. Yes, yes, ma'am. Go ahead and speak. Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
All right. Thank you very much for putting on that broadcast, because that was one of the most decent shows, not only that Darlene had done, but your show represented, because you allowed Darlene to not just express herself, but to express her concerns in the direction a lot of people are going in this. You know, I tell you, if it wasn't for people like her who had convictions and true belief in trying to get the system better, since, you know, she was a union representative here in Philadelphia for 37 years.
Yes, she was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will say this much. I got a chance to see what she represented when it came to dealing with the people who were mostly of the lower income system, and she had to see if she could help rescue their jobs, because she knew some of them didn't know any better about how to keep a job and how to be able to relate to the people who, as she called it, the powers that be. And
yes,
so
did.
She tried to help those who could be helped. And, you know, her job didn't require that she help just one class of people, but anybody who was able to be helped. And,
yes,
you know, she got disappointed in the fact that she's seen, unfortunately, a few reckless people in the system who didn't show any concern. That's where she came in. I'm really, you know, sorry that she had, you know, to die all of a sudden, because I got a chance to hear a few of her dreams that she wanted to go forward with, but she proceeded on with or without anybody to interrupt her, including her daughters, even though she loved them. And I tell you, just know she's gone. I just say her voice again. I can say there may still be hope for the system out here. We're not going to give up on everybody. Thank you.
That's right, dog. And listen, that's right. Darlene knew exactly what made people feel, Tony. You have been here with me since 2013, before Darlene got here, okay?
Yeah.
And you knew our direction. And I'm just Darlene Lawrence is the ultimate champion, our first ever Hall of Famer, and I love her. I love her, you know, in the next realm. You know, we knew her, and she had a wonderful voice. She loved to sing. And, you know, she was just a wonderful person and an outstanding and courageous broadcaster, just like you are. And I want to thank you, Antonia Bass, tonight. I love you very much, and nothing you can do about it.
Well, I love you back.
It's now in Gozy time. We bring on our commissioner, the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
All right. Wow. What a show. And I am so grateful and honored that I had the opportunity to hear Darlene Lawrence. Wow. This show was amazing. And I am, like, really happy to be able to, I guess, be a light, just as she was, and bringing about truth and reality today. And what a blessing to have her as a host that is now looking down upon us, the host of 2022. And, you know, wow. God bless you, Ms. Darlene Lawrence. God bless you. And Antonia, it was good hearing you on that show. And Brother O, wow. That show was amazing. It was absolutely incredible. All right. WBNN, wow, is a wonderful network. And we're carrying the torch. We're carrying the torch. So WBNN has broadcasting and advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time and Oladele Malewe Ngozi at Facebook. Any questions and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight, oladele.ngozi@my.com. For our mother's and father's favorite producer, Oladele Malewe Ngozi. I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. And now back to Internet, International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting enshrining the late Darlene Lawrence.
I want to thank our commissioner tonight. And of course, Darlene can't speak for herself tonight. But what Darlene gave us for 2 years, when she left, she was like a Jim Brown in football. Young lady had 36 all-time collection records, and it took a long time for that to be broken. It took 2 years after that, matter of fact, 3 years after that, with Andrea Preston. And that got her into the Hall of Fame. Darlene is a legend, a person that loved people, no matter who they were. As long as they were respectable and gave respect, not only she gave respect, but she also made sure they had prominence and she made ways for them to be able to eat. That's the type of person Darlene was. As a broadcaster, it's funny because our commissioner who hosts News Forum now, I hosted News Forum from February 5th, 2013 to September 26th, 2013. And I said, you know what? It's time for me to, you know, decrease so this network can increase. And I, you know, recruited Darlene and said, Darlene, will you take this spot? A lot of people don't understand, man, our hosts are spoiled. Even a host that did two, every week, you were spoiled because Antonio knows we did shows every week. I think maybe that's why we were closer then. Maybe. Maybe we knew the purpose. It was all in. There was no only honors, none of the accolades. We were trying to survive like any other in that radio network. However, we've grown to where we are today, to have outstanding hosts, a prominent commissioner, prominent commissioners, and a reigning commissioner, to be not only relevant, but historic and storied. But we wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for people like Darlene Lawrence. The 2018 National Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcast in Shriney. Darlene, we miss you. Our hearts ache for you now.